Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in to catch another edition of The Drift as we chill out here with Brandon Drake.
You're looking pretty laid back there.
Is yeah, I'm trying a new position. My back's hurting a bit, so, you know, we'll try and figure a way to get comfortable here in the studio. Does it sound all right, Derek? Can I sit like this?
You look all hunched over, though, so
yeah,
maybe that's not good for your back.
Yeah, it probably isn't, but it's what it is. So lots to talk about today that didn't get covered in the last couple hours. So
late on me, brother.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing that really hit me this week was the beating that poor guy took down in Detroit. I know what does Theron call him? The Velociraptors came out. He hit a kid by accident. And you look at the video, it wasn't his fault. That kid just darted out. That's what we teach our kids all the time. Look both ways before you go darting out in the traffic. And he simply got out to help the kid, call 911. And these thugs that were sitting at the local liquor store across the street came over and beat him and robbed him. Mm. You know. Now, my question to you is, hate crime?
Well,
white guy in a black neighborhood at the wrong time. I'm going to ask the question. They pussyfooted around on some of the other radio stations and the TV stations. It's like nobody wants to touch it. I'm thinking it's a hate crime. Is Eric Holder going to come to Detroit and investigate? Is he going to send some people? Looks like a hate crime to me.
Well, to be very cynical and sarcastic, you know, if it's a white victim and black perpetrators, then of course it can't be a hate crime. Can't be. At least the mainstream media will lead you to believe that by what they don't say most of the time. So if the federal government gets involved, which I know they won't, but of course it's a hate crime if you're going to be consistent with previous, quote, hate crimes.
Right. I mean, if it had been the opposite, if it had been Bloomfield Hills and a black person had accidentally hit a young white kid and a bunch of white thugs came out and beat him up and put him in the hospital, the man may die. I don't know. He hasn't woke up. He's still unconscious. That would be all over the news nationally as a hate crime. They'd be spouting it as a hate crime. I mean, this went national anyways because it is such a terrible thing to happen.
Yeah, because of the racial factor involved, it's a hate crime, like I described earlier. Why does race always have to be the key factor in determining if it's, quote, a hate crime?
Yeah, I mean, it could be maybe they thought the man was Jewish or Muslim or something. I don't know. You can tell by looking at him. He's just an average guy from the suburbs, mm-hmm. whatever.
But it's despicable that it seems to be so one-sided.
Yeah.
If it's a black victim, then it's automatically a hate crime. If it's a white victim,
right.
It's kind of swept under the rug.
Well, I think the real story here is these young adults, obviously, have never learned civilized behavior that, you know what, if you indeed thought that he had hit the kid on purpose, then you hold him for the authorities. You don't start beating him. And obviously, he was already on the phone trying to dial 911, so he wasn't that. That's just society. Has it become so savage in America? I'm not even going to say inner city because I know it happens in the suburbs too. What the heck did we do wrong with our children, with this generation, that they don't care anymore, that they will beat a human being senseless?
Well, maybe part of it's true that they're desensitized because of all of the video violence that they see on a continuous basis.
Maybe.
Could be.
I mean, we talk about spheres of influence. I mean, we've in, at least in the inner cities, 80% of these kids and young adults that are growing up don't have two parents. They've got one parent, normally just the mom. So there's no father there to teach them discipline, to teach them right from wrong. And so that sphere of influence is gone. And now we've got the school system, which cannot discipline children anymore and teach them right from wrong. And the school sphere or the church sphere of influence is gone because people don't go to church anymore. They're not scared of God. They're not scared of police. They're not scared of parents that they don't have. They're not scared of the school system.
Well, you just nailed it. They're not afraid of anything. And that translates to they don't have respect for anything. You know, sometimes fear and respect are kind of synonymous, and they don't have a fear.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, tell me if this was the case for you. I'm going to go way back. When I was a kid, the big kids, I never, you know, tried to start trouble with the quote. I keep saying quote. I got to stop that. With the big kids. Because, you know, you might get beat up. You just had a certain deference for them because, hey, they're a little higher in the pecking order because they're bigger than you. But then when I became a big kid, it seemed like the little kids, they had no fear. And you just look at them like, hey, when I was your size, I kept my mouth shut. And these kids, when I was growing up, it seemed like it almost started there. Maybe kids 5 years younger than me would just give you a lot of crap. And you knew that because you were so much bigger, you couldn't really do anything to them. But they had no fear of you and seemed to almost know that you weren't going to do anything to
them.
Yeah, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't have that knowledge that nobody was going to beat me up because they would beat me up.
Yeah, I want to say that cutoff period was because you and I are pretty close. You're a little older than me. A
couple years.
But I think, yeah, we're the last of that generation that had that respect. What the heck happened to parents and society that we allowed the kids that are maybe 10 years younger than us, and I guess we're going to go to Matt's millennials. I'm not blaming the millennials, Matt, honest. But something happened there. What happened shortly after you and I left childhood, left high school, that children became so disrespectful, so uncaring of life and honor and respect?
I don't know.
That these young adults now are out beating the crap out of a guy because he accidentally hit a kid that darted out into traffic.
You know, it's quite the phenomenon, which I can't explain, but I find it very interesting and validating that you know what I'm talking about going that far back. That
absolutely. Seemed
that's when it started,
yeah,
for me anyway.
It dawned on me when you said that. Yes, I do. I remember respecting my elders, be they a kid that was 2 or 3 years older than me.
Mm-hmm. Or an adult.
Or an adult. Absolutely. You know, the adults in my neighborhood, they were as good as my parents because if Mr. Gloss, who lived next door to me, caught me doing something, boy, I was in as big a trouble as it was if my dad had caught me. You know,
sure,
and the parents down the street, they knew who Gary was. You know, I'm going to tell your father if they didn't give me a crack mm-hmm. upside the head
and
myself.
You assume they would tell your father.
Absolutely.
And back then, your father, parents in general, were receptive to hearing this from other adults. They didn't defend the kid automatically like they do now.
Right. Well, I'll go so far as to say, you know, if another adult looked at me like I was a bad kid, I felt bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I didn't want anyone looking at me and thinking I was a bad kid, you know, even when I was being bad.
Well,
even when I was being bad.
Well, example of when we were being bad. Here's an example of when you're with your friends and you're running around and say, I'm just going to throw an age out there, 10, 11 years old. You might swear among yourselves. It just was part of the language, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I'm not talking about anything over the top, but there was a natural swearing here and there. But when you were around adults, whether they be strangers, relatives, parents, you didn't swear. But kids now, you wouldn't believe some of the language I hear walking into the library and kids are standing outside just loitering around. Some are on their phones. Some are talking among themselves. Unbelievable.
Yeah, dropping the F-bombs.
Oh,
I'm as guilty as that. And
boys and girls.
Not yeah.
And you're walking right by, you know, a couple of feet from them, and they don't let up at all. They don't care. It's like you don't exist.
Yeah, there's no respect.
I would have never done
others.
That when I was a kid, yeah. Ever.
Our culture has gone horribly wrong.
Down the drain.
And you know, it's our own fault. You know, we as Americans have allowed our culture to be, I guess you can blame Hollywood or all the above for allowing ourselves. But it's our fault. We're the ones that have allowed it. You know, it's terrible. We're going to take a break, Derek. And when we come back.
On that positive note, we'll take a break.
We'll see you on the other side.
Listeners, I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Join me Saturdays at 3 p.m. We'll circumnavigate the world of art with lively interviews with renowned artists, collectors, dealers, museum directors and curators, writers, actors, musicians, and philanthropists. Close to home or far afield, we'll visit museums, galleries, and historic sites. We'll explore the lives of famous artists and their times, discuss current trends in art, architecture, design, and antiques collecting, as well as ways to grow and protect a collection. But the main component is you and what you can take from the show to enhance the creativity of your life. Speaking of art is one of the great conversations in your week, lively and full of relevance. So nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Saturday at 3 on Wham! Talk 1600. Speaking of art, it's about civilization, yours.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies a piece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
Don't ignore facial redness. It could be an early warning sign of rosacea, a life-disruptive facial disorder that gets worse without treatment. Over time, the redness becomes more persistent and tiny blood vessels may appear. Without medical help, bumps, pimples, and even facial disfigurement often develop. 16 million Americans have rosacea, yet only a small fraction are being treated. Don't ignore the warning signs. See a dermatologist or visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from Wham! Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in our OR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that Enemedia are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at Wham! Talk 1600. Yeah!
Welcome back to The Drift. In studio, Brandon Drake joining me.
Today is day six for me without caffeine, and that music kind of was perfect. Just kind of da-da.
Yeah, you like that? I'm thinking of moving the bumper music to that, dude. Put the overlay on it.
Not bad.
Yeah, I like that. It's. I'm trying to remember who the original, they did that. It's Grammatic, I think, but it's a takeoff of somebody. And I couldn't think of it, but I like that version, you know.
Cool.
Yeah, we need to change things up a little bit. I'm ready. Are you ready?
Sure. I do like the fix, though, in the opening intro and
yeah,
the conclusion.
Yeah, I think we need to keep that.
I like that.
We'll have to keep that. It's kind of, you know.
I sing that to myself afterwards.
Do you?
Stand or... Yeah, I mean, you don't want to hear me sing it, but I sing it to myself because I think it's cool.
Yeah, so let's take care of our sponsor this half hour. Is The Current. Current April edition is out. If you don't get it in your mailbox, you can go to www.currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com, thecurrentonline.com. And all the older editions are online there. So a good chance for you to catch up on some good conservative musings, as well as some community, local community news and that sort of stuff. So 734-629-6010 is my number if you want to advertise in The Current and get your branded message out to the community. So good place. We've grown six times our size in the last 7 years.
So it's a good place to grow your business with us.
You know, another way to remember the current is courantonline.com.
Very nice, dude. Why have you waited so long to give me that one? courantonline.com. I love it.
Do I get a raise?
Yes. Yes. You can have a cup of coffee. Please.
You're trying to tempt me.
Yeah, dude, come on. I mean, you're handling it all right, but I can see you need a cup of coffee.
It hurts.
I made good coffee. I made it with love.
Was it the kind of coffee we usually have that makes your teeth just inflamed and heartburn instantly?
No, this is smooth and robust, dude.
And made with love.
And made with love.
Can't emphasize that enough.
We won't go any farther with that conversation.
Let's not start any rumors out.
Yeah, here we
go. It's not true.
So, something you brought, you and all my readers are always welcome to do this.
Linda just showed up, giving us the through the glass.
Sorry, Mom.
Our listeners out there that can't see this. She never knows what's going to happen when the two of us get together. Uh-oh.
Are you guys wearing, like, big sweaters?
No, but you can turn on the mood lights when you leave.
Like the Folgers commercials? This is getting scary down here.
It's a weird day.
We go from urban beatings to coffee made with love.
Coffee made with lots of love.
All right, so readers at thedailydrift.com are always welcome to send us items, and we get things from Don Miller occasionally. And this week, you brought one to my attention last night, actually, and it's the, oddly enough, $6 billion missing from the State Department.
Because of shoddy bookkeeping, shoddy internal controls, shoddy contract compliance, and most of this was under the watch of guess who? Hillary Rodham Clinton, our savior, our next president, this person that's so smart, this person that she can bring all the magic of the Clinton era back. I mean, that's got to be part of why people have this mythical mindset regarding her. And I think she is an urban legend because all you have to do is look and you'll find where she has dropped the ball each step of the way, but miraculously always seems to not only just get away with it, but be rejoiced and respected and lauded by the masses in the media.
Yeah,
I've never seen anything like this.
She's a legend in the media's mind, you know, in her own mind too, obviously. But
I mean, now, one would think that if you are the head of a department, that one of the things you could do is if you're so smart and you have the ability to, you know, get into the detail and understand problems and solve them, because that's what you were appointed for, to do that, is that you would check out how the controls are implemented in your department where billions of dollars are being just sent all over the world. And in this case, it says the State Department has no idea what happened to $6 billion used to pay its contractors. In a special management alert made public Thursday, the State Department's Inspector General Steve Linick warned, quote, significant financial risk and a lack of internal control at the department has led to billions of unaccounted dollars over the last 6 years. And over the last 6 years, the bulk of that was Hillary Clinton. This is from the Fiscal Times. Also, this kind of shocked me, the State Department had been without an inspector general position for 5 years, the longest inspector general vacancy in the government's history, as noted in the Washington Post.
So the guy that oversees, they're not posting. So they don't want anyone checking out the hen house, right?
When Hillary Clinton was there,
yeah,
for the bulk of her career at the State Department, there was no inspector general, which is a record in government history.
Yeah, it's like the whitewater of foreign affairs.
But who's talking about this?
Yeah, nobody.
Nobody.
Us.
You and me. That's
yep.
it.
Yeah.
So
well, there you go. It's an expose.
We're the only ones that seem to be outraged.
Yeah,
by it.
I mean, and you know how I diligently go through the internet looking for stories, especially if they can beat up on Hillary a little bit. It's her and Bill.
You don't have to look far when it comes to her.
No, you don't.
And you have to look really hard to find anything positive, which to me for me so far has been pointless. I haven't found anything positive when she was Secretary of State. Not right. one single thing.
Yeah, I thought I had something on her today for you that I put up because of that. Maybe I didn't. No, I didn't.
And I guess one reason I get so fired up about this is because she's being granted, basically, in our media mindset, that she's going to at least be the Democratic nominee, if not the president. I think, all right, here's the thing. I think it's outrageous enough if you look back in her history as to what she did. But what makes it terribly crazy for me, and probably for many, is that she may become the next president. If she was just retired from politics and she's done, it's like, okay, let it go. But the fact that she might be around for another 4 or 8 years.
Yeah, I think she's going to have to be. There's nobody else that can run. Seriously? We've heard the rumors. She's sick and may not be able to run, doesn't have the health for it. And God bless her. I don't wish anything upon her, you know. But I think even if she is sick, has some health issues, she's going to run anyways. It's the last best hope for the Democrats this time around. Can she distance herself from this Obama nonsense, the lousy foreign policy, Obamacare, everything else? I don't know.
That'd be tough to do when you're a Secretary of State.
Yeah.
And supposedly foreign affairs is your baby.
Yeah. Yeah, she screwed it up. She's as equally to blame as Barack Obama. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, I think the mystique about the Clinton era anyway is, you know, nobody gives credit to Gingrich and the Republican Congress. They don't give credit to Bill Clinton for the better economy. You know what I mean? It wasn't his doing alone. He was part of it because he agreed with the Republicans.
Yeah,
he compromised.
He went kicking and screaming during the compromise process. But then when things worked out, he takes all the credit.
Yeah.
And he's given all the credit by the media and by his own party.
That's what Democrats seem to do on a regular basis. You know, and they get away with it because the media lets them. You know, those few of us that are here in talk radio, I guess, stirring up the pot. You know, am I sour grapes, Gary, that I'm doing this? No. I think I would be as equally vocal had I been in this studio when George Bush was around. Because there was a lot of stuff that George Bush did that I don't like. And I can't wait to sit in the studio when we have a Republican president so I can hold the feet to the fire there, too. I mean, I look forward to the day that I can beat up on a not-so-conservative Republican.
Are you going to buy any of George Bush's artwork?
You know, I was watching that last night, and there was a picture. I think it was a clip of his daughter, who now works for one of the news outlets, interviewing her dad. And there was a picture he did of George Herbert Walker Bush, his dad.
Did it look pretty good?
I thought it looked good. It wasn't like the perfect portrait, but it was like his own abstract style to it. And I liked it. I looked at it and said, you know what? I would buy that because it looks like George Herbert Walker Bush, but it certainly had a style of an artist. I could see that, you know. So I liked it. I would probably buy a George Bush painting if I could afford it.
Well, I think it's great that he's able to paint because I know that I can't. I wouldn't able to.
I can draw a stick figure and I screw that up. Half the time.
Yeah, me too.
I have no artistic ability. My father is a good drawer, a good painter. He does all kinds of stuff. Me, I did not get that gene at all.
No, me either. My sister can do the artsy stuff, and I can barely even write my own name and be able to read it and understand it myself. My signature is just terrible.
I remember trying to draw in elementary school, and it was like, you know, my birds looked like crocodiles. They weren't very good, let's just say. I'm not an artist.
Well, birds, I think, are evolved from, you know,
crocodiles,
lizards, and things like that, right? Evolution.
I'm a paleo artist, dude. There you go.
No, but George Bush, I mean, if you can paint all the power to him, I think that's fantastic.
Well, I miss George Bush. I'm sure I would have berated him at the time, too, because there were things I didn't like that he did. I think he should have gotten us out of Iraq a little sooner. You know, I hate to say it, I'm one of the guys that says, drop the bombs, forget the boots on the ground. Just bomb them into the Stone Age until they get it right. That's my foreign policy.
One of the things, you know, we're running out of time here, so.
We can pick that up after the break.
We can pick that up.
It looked like a.
I was ready to go on a rant.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll see you on the other side.
on the go, driving to work, running errands. How do they keep informed? They listen to Wham! Talk 1600, just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham! For the latest issues discussed by hosts Bill Bennett, Glenn Beck, and Theronex. They stay tuned in for state and local news with Dan Martin, and they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 and advertise your business with Wham! Talk 1600.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. A new development may narrow down the search area for the missing Malaysian plane, according to China's official news agency.
The Chinese ship Haizhen-01 deployed a black box detector into the water in the southern Indian Ocean and picked up a pulse signal, the same frequency emitted by the flight data recorders. The Chinese also say one of their Air Force planes spotted some white floating objects in that search area.
Fox's Molly Henneberg. And the final four tipping off tonight, UConn versus Florida in North Texas, the other matchup at the stadium where the Dallas Cowboys play.
Our guys are going to get in front of 75,000, look around and think, oh my.
Kentucky coach John Calipari hopes they settle down, trying to win a second title in 3 years. Wisconsin coach Bo Ryan says once you get to the Final Four,
our teams are who they are. We're not changing from last week, from last month.
The winners play for the national championship Monday night.
Fox Radio's Dave Anthony, Fox News. We report, you decide.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
Join us every Sunday morning for Wham! Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour Radio Show, followed at 9:30 by the Christian Science Sentinel Program. At 10, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ. And finally, from 11 a.m. till noon, it's the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor. Every Sunday morning, Wham! Offers an opportunity for you to worship wherever you are. And please visit whamradio.com and click on any of the church programs to visit their websites and to find out more about their live services.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Joining me in studio, Brandon Drake.
We be back.
And if you want to join in the discussion, 734-822-1600. And if you want to talk about anything that we are discussing or something else, this is your show as well as ours.
You can talk about anything from, say, the Three Stooges all the way up to the Senate.
Just no basketball. I don't do basketball.
The same. Yeah, the Final Four, no, we don't want to talk about
no
that.
Yeah, no basketball. Can't do that.
Yeah.
Let's take care of, we'll pass on that, too.
Okay, we're done. See you next week, everybody.
Yeah, no, I was going to do a sponsor, but, you know, I'm not in the mood. I do want to talk about Obamacare. You know, watching Mr. Obama trot around with his victory lap, whatever, saying, you know, it's hard to believe that they went from 6 million to 7,060,000, and the number was like precise. Really? You couldn't tell us anything for months and months and months, and all of a sudden you've got an exact number of how many people. And a bunch of reports came out kind of saying, we don't really believe this is happening. But for me, it's very simple, right? They're saying 7.1. Let's use that for simple math. 7.1 million people signed up for Obamacare through the exchanges or whatever. But we know for a fact that over 6 million people lost their insurance policies, right? Leaving you 1 million by my math, 1.1. So best case, those 6 million people that were paying for insurance may have signed up through the exchanges and Obamacare. So there's only 1 million people additionally that have signed up.
Could be.
Okay, because otherwise those 6 million people that lost it are still uninsured.
And some people that were possibly paying on their own may have looked at the exchange and said, hey, now I'm going to get a subsidy if I go through the healthcare exchange. So I'll drop my previous insurance and go to this insurance.
Right.
So that could be that too. Even if they didn't lose it, it wasn't taken away from them. They may have just made a switch.
Yeah. And that's if you believe that, if you believe the numbers. Frankly, I don't believe the numbers. I don't believe anything that comes out of the Obama administration. And of course, thank goodness, some of our Republicans in the House also disagree with that. Derek, do we have track one? It's Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio talking to Dr. Sharfstein from Maryland about the Maryland Exchange. And the Maryland Exchange has had a ton of problems. Let's listen to that real quick.
Our reports, according to AP, what's been, you know, press accounts, 73,000 folks, 73,000 individuals in Maryland were going to lose their insurance because of the Affordable Care Act. And what you're telling me is your revised goal is approximately the same number, 75,000. So your revised goal of people you're going to sign up is we're going to sign up the people who were kicked off of the Affordable Care Act.
No, yeah, you're comparing apples and oranges, with all due respect.
I'm comparing people who got kicked off because of this law, and I'm comparing the number you say you're going to sign up through your exchange, which is far below, roughly half, of what the initial number that CMS gave you.
I think an apples-to-apples comparison would be the size of the individual market before and after. So whether people have coverage in the individual market before January 1st versus after, because some people don't need subsidies. They'll go right to a carrier.
Right.
So we're seeing not only just the exchange enrollment, the outside the exchange enrollment, which is probably going to be at least that, plus the fact that people could renew early, we're going to see a much bigger individual market.
But I think you're
That's
leaving
the
out
apples,
the fact that
apples comparison.
I think you're leaving out the fact that your calculation, what you just went through, those who were kicked off.
Okay, that's exactly my point. Did you hear the gobbledygook, the doublespeak that subhuman filth puts out there to try and make us feel better about his crappy program? Are you serious?
It's kind of like we got some good news, we got some bad news.
We got some bad news, we got some worse news.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. They keep not wanting to talk about the people who lost their insurance. You know, it's part of the equation. It's simple mathematics, folks. 7 million people. All right, I'll take it for granted. You're good. You got 7 million people. 6 million people lost it. You're still up by 1 million. That's it. And how many of those have paid?
Well, that's the big question, too. And
yes.
We shall hopefully find out within the next couple, 3 months, right?
Well, Blue Cross Blue Shield, one of the biggest players across the country, not just here in Michigan, their own data is saying 15 to 20% are not paying their premiums right off the get-go. 15 to 20%. Yeah, I'm going to sign up, but I'm not paying for anything.
It's kind of like it's like buying a new home back in, say, 2005. Hey, I got this house. Oh, I'm not going to pay.
I'm not going to pay for it. I got 90 days of free rent. It'll take a year to kick me out.
Yeah, plus, you know, in a few years here, I'll just refinance with a balloon payment and everything will be fine.
Let's take a quick call from Jenny in Brownstown. Jenny, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. I don't believe anything the Obama administration says except for I got a pen and I got a phone. And also, I think it's really nuts for a military installation of any kind to not require their people on it to carry guns.
Well, I'll agree with you there. I mean, if anything comes out, and you'll notice that the left has been pretty silent on the gun control issue on this one. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. I think they know it's a losing battle because, General Ray Odierno, one of the big wigs for the military, said, "No, we're comfortable with what we've got. We're happy with the way our MPs and stuff are doing." I don't think so, Jenny. I think you're dead on the money there.
I think that's just nuts. This is a military post. Why can't people carry guns?
I can give you guys a crazy story about that. When I was in the Army Reserve, I did AIT, Advanced Individual Training, at Fort Benjamin Harrison in Indianapolis. And it was a school. And so it was almost like a college campus in a way. But you played Army in the evening and you went to school during the day. This was after basic training. And anyway, This one buddy of mine, he didn't show up for dinner. You know, I mean, I'm looking for him, and he's not around. He's gone. So in the morning, I go to formation, and he comes walking by me with a death stare almost. I say, where were you? Where, you know, we got formation. He's like, no, screw that. I'm going to bed. I'm like, what happened to you? And I find out later, I'll tell you later. What I find out is him and like five others were just yanked from, you know, they just happened to be going down the hall or something. And they were pulled, they were volunteered, if you will, to be guards at the Indianapolis 500. And they were out there, and he said, with rubber weapons. It looked like an M16, but it was a rubber weapon.
What the?
To do, quote, guard duty so that they, you know, had a presence, a physical presence. But if there was any trouble, or they could not do anything because they not only didn't have bullets, they didn't even have a real weapon. Yeah.
Yeah. That's almost as bad as what our troops in Afghanistan are going through. Yeah.
That's the doom of our country, the doom of our military.
Yeah. Just to put guys out there and let them be targets, basically.
Yeah, right. And that reminds me of a point that you made, Brandon. I think it was you or Gary. Anyway, yeah, for heck with the boots in the ground, guys. Bomb the crap out of these people.
Yeah, well, there you go.
You know, hopefully we've learned our lesson a little bit with that and also nation building. Forget it.
Oh,
you know, if you look at the Russians and the Chinese and the things they've done over their history, they don't care about nation building. We're the only ones that do, to our regret.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, get out there like we did in World War
II
and bomb the heck out of people.
And don't rebuild them.
Right. Leave them alone.
We're the only country in the world that does that. We rebuild everybody, and we also warn everybody that we're coming.
Yeah.
You know? The leaflets, the candy bars, everything. Hey, you might want to get out of the way because our B-52s are going to show up in about 3 hours. That's what the leaflets say.
Well, thanks for the call, Jenny. Appreciate
it. Okay.
Take care.
So, no, we were going to get into that anyways, but at least give more guys guns, okay? Either, why can't they take 20% of the guys on base, give them an extra training in class, make sure they're not suffering from PTSD or whatever, and let them carry guns. So there's another 50,000 guys carrying guns at the different bases. You know, the MPs can't be everywhere. It's like cops. You know, it's a very small number. These are guys we've trained. We've given them guns in combat. We should at least be able to say X number of these guys should be allowed to carry a weapon just in case. I guess what bothers me is this guy was in for psych work, went in. Shouldn't they have at least around that area a few extra guys with guns, a couple extra guards? For the guys that are not having a good time, that might be a problem.
Well, it's a really frustrating and tragic situation, for sure.
It's terrible. And I feel bad for him, too, because obviously they knew he had some problems. They had him in. He'd seen a psychiatrist. Somebody like that comes in, and now the story is he went in to ask for a time off voucher, and they said, no, you can't have it today. If it's 5 after 5, you might want to give the guy who's having a little PTSD the form. Instead of kicking him out the door. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm betting somebody's thinking, I wish I'd just given him the form, even though it was after hours.
Well, I could tell you about the Army and forms. Unbelievable. I had this one sergeant.
Enough to drive him to bring.
Yeah. I think this was at AIT also. It was just a nightmare. And I think I had to go back to this guy like 3-4 times, and he wouldn't, because I didn't have the right forms, you know, and his response, where's your form? I'm like, why don't you just, you can't say this because he outranked me, but I wanted to say, why don't you just tell me what forms I need? Because nobody else will.
Where's your form?
Anyone that's never served, let me tell you, every nightmare story, whether it's funny or really sad, about bureaucracy and forms and all that with the Army, it's true.
Yeah.
It really is true.
Yeah. Well, kind of strange. But anyways, this is, I guess, the result of not spending a little extra time and fixing these problems. The fact that it happened at Fort Hood again is what really blows my mind. I mean, statistically speaking, really, couldn't it have happened at another base? Why Fort Hood again?
Yeah.
Is it because it's the biggest base? Is it because they get more guys with PTSD, you know, post-traumatic stress? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what the correlation.
But either way, I would still say, once again, it's a gun-free zone and people are dying. People are dying in droves in gun-free zones. So at least give some of those guys, Army guys, a little extra training and let them carry their guns while they're on duty.
There's a ton of guys on duty on the base. Let them carry, you know, even if the guys that aren't. Yep. Okay, let's get back to Obamacare, where we were, because I think people need to understand this. We're not seeing it in the mainstream media. Ask the question of your congressman. Ask the question of your senator. If you're claiming that there really is 7 million sign-up, what about the 6 million people that lost theirs? Are they included as re-enrolled in that 7 million? The math is pretty simple. And I want people to go into the election this year knowing. Now, I'm waiting for the hammer to drop in my insurance with my company, you know, because they HR said, no, you should be fine. Yeah, I'm already seeing some people at work saying there's something funny going on when they go to the emergency room. Okay. People asking for money and they're getting some flack, and it's because of Obamacare. That's what the hospitals are saying, which is now the whipping post for anything that goes wrong at the hospital. Oh, it's Obamacare.
Now they have a convenient excuse for anything.
Yes, more paperwork. Your co-pays are gone up. It's all because of Obamacare. You got to pay us or it's Obamacare, you know. So I want people to know that. And we've got another track. I think this is Marsha Blackburn, Derek. Let's run that track.
I know Republicans like yourself are very skeptical about this number, but why?
A few simple reasons. We don't know how many of the 6 million previously had insurance and just were forced into the Obamacare program. We don't know how many have paid, as you said. We don't know how many of those are the young healthy that you have to make it actuarially work. We don't know how many were Medicaid or how many got subsidies. And those are the five questions that you have to have answers to before you can say how many new people came into the system.
Okay, so that was a week before, and so it went from 6 million to 7 point whatever within that week. And our point is the same that we're making now, that anybody with a half a lick of common sense would say, really? You got another million in a week, but what are the real numbers? And why is the administration not giving us the number of people who have paid? They've got to know. Wouldn't you agree? You're the accountant. You think they would know that they got a check? They may not know whether the check was good, but they should know who paid, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of reporting system they have set up with the insurance companies, because you pay the insurance company directly, and I don't know what kind of communication structure that is. That's why I said maybe in the next 2-3 months, and people have, I think, is it 30 days after they sign up to make that first premium payment? So who knows? Maybe right. Maybe the jury is still out on that.
Other than Blue Cross, Blue Shield, who is saying as of right now, 15 to 20% of their people are not paying.
Yeah, it seems like a large percentage of people not to pay. I can see some people just signing up saying, okay, I did it, afraid of the fine,
right,
the penalty, and then having no intention
of paying.
Yeah,
and that would be probably what a lot of people, I think, would do. I'm going to sign up, but I'll figure it out later.
Right.
But
it's like when people buy HD TVs, they'll figure it out later.
Well, so if there is a million, so let's give them the benefit of the doubt. There's a million people now, 20% may or may not have paid. I don't know. Out of that million, how many went to Medicaid?
Oh, I know a lot of people went to Medicaid. You know,
if that's the case, again, you've got the drain on the system, but nothing coming in. You know, I want to see the reporting, because you know they're going to try and push the reporting back and push the reporting back before the election, because they don't want to hurt the Democrats any worse than they already will be in this election. But I think people should know that, and they need to start asking these questions. I wish people would write these newspapers like AnnArbor.com that comes out on the weekend, and the Free Press and the Detroit News. Start asking those questions. You know, your letters to the editor are pretty important. Whether they'll print them or not, I don't know. I mean, at the current, we print everything, whether I agree with it or not. That's the way I am. I may make fun of you behind the scenes, but
that's
I will.
Funny.
But I will print it. It's the same with here. We still haven't had a liberal phone call yet, have we?
Not one.
I don't think I've ever. It'll be our anniversary, you and me. It's coming up about a year, and I've been 2.5 years now. I haven't. If you're a liberal caller, call in. Say hi.
Yeah, the only hardcore liberal we really get is Ken on occasion from Livonia. And he hasn't called in a while.
You're just egging him to call in.
I love Ken, as you know. I am making him. I miss Ken. That's why I said
Ken,
that.
Ken, Z, you're listening right now. Call on in. I'm waiting to see the flash. But
you can even talk about your smart meter if you want.
Let's take a quick break, Derek, and when we come back, we'll finish out the show.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Blues at the Elks happens on the second Tuesday of the month from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Plymouth Elks Lodge number 1780. There's a $5 donation at the door, and bring your dancing shoes. On Tuesday, April 8th, the fabulous George Bedard and the Kingpins will perform. Jazz at the Elks happens on the last Tuesday of the month from 7 to 10 p.m. There's a $10 donation at the door, which includes hors d'oeuvres. On Tuesday, April 29th, the famous Johnny Trudell Quartet returns. For more information, call 734-453-1780 or email plymouthelk1780@yahoo.com. The lodge is located at 41700 Ann Arbor Road in Plymouth. Are you fed up with runaway government ruining your health care, taxing you more and more, and tying you up in red tape? If so, you'll want to attend the kickoff meeting of the Belleville Tea Party. It'll be Saturday, April 12th at 6 p.m. at the Belleville Coney Island. Wham! Talk 1600's own Theron will tell us what we can do to take our country back, and you'll learn how you can multiply your voting power 1,000 times by becoming a precinct delegate. Again, it'll be Saturday, April 12th at 6 p.m. at the Belleville Coney Island, 871 Sumter Road in Belleville. For more information, call 734-340-6011. That's 734-340-6011. The Washtenaw Wanderers Walking Club will celebrate World Walking Day with a group walk in Blissfield Saturday, May 3rd. Meet at 10 a.m. It'll be a 5K or a 10K walk. The starting place is Cakes and Shakes, 135 South Lane Street in Blissfield. Take a walk through historic Blissfield. For more information, visit Washtenaw Wanderers on Facebook.
You've been listening to the Wham! Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community at whamradio.com. Wham! Talk 1600. In touch with your community.
To succeed in today's business environment, your business needs to be seen by as many customers as possible. The Current newspaper serves Washtenaw, Oakland, and Livingston counties. Advertising in The Current is the best way to get your money's worth out of your print media budget. The Current has grown 600% since 2007 because The Current has a unique venue for local content, common sense, and your business message. Getting your business message into thousands of homes utilizing The Current newspaper for mere pennies apiece is the best way to do that. And your ad is also seen online for free. Call Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current, at 734-629-6010. That's 734-629-6010. Or go to currentonline.com. That's CourantOnline.com. Grow your business in print and online with The Current newspaper.
Derek's back there getting his groove on. You like that, don't you, Derek? Huh?
Yeah, that's cool.
Tommy Guerrero? Yes. I could DJ.
Yeah, you could.
Can I get a night spot here? Maybe Linda's listening. Can I get a weekday night spot? No, they won't give that up for...
You can replace Alex Jones. 11 to 1. Rocking with Gary Wellings from 11 to 1.
People would be falling asleep on my music. My wife, my son, and my dad all say, your music all sounds the same.
Kind of a jazzy.
Yeah, I'm a jazz guy.
Easy listening.
Kind of like that. Yeah.
It's relaxing. I like it.
Yeah, so let's finish up the show with immigration. We're going to touch on this. And Joe Biden, a week or two
Another
back,
genius in the administration.
I know. If you could... Really? Why do we send the stupidest people to Washington? It's got to be the
the scourge of stupidity on the planet is Washington, D.C. Yeah. It's amazing.
Traitorous and stupid. Yes. And the libs just say every time Joe speaks and makes a fool out of himself, they just laugh it off. Oh, that's Joe. Yeah. That's just Joe.
Well, my nickname for him is Foot and Mouth Joe. I mean, that's just what he does. He's an idiot. Sorry, Mr. Vice President, but...
He seems to take pride in it, too. He doesn't ever look ashamed of it.
Yeah. Imagine him running for president, dude, this time around. Can you imagine him in a debate with Hillary Clinton? I would pay to see that.
Maybe he would start calling her his friend, like he did to Paul Ryan. My friend here. My friend. My friend. He must have said that 75 times during that debate. It was so irritating. That was the most irritating debate I have ever witnessed. I turned the television off several times, and then I'd be like, all right, I got to see it again. So I would turn it back on, and then Biden would piss me off, and I'd shut it off again.
Yeah, the man's aggravating. But let's aggravate ourselves with track four, Derek, and we'll listen to Joe Biden talking about immigration.
These people are just waiting for a chance to be able to contribute fully. And by that standard, 11 million undocumented aliens are already Americans, in my view. All they want, they just want a decent life for their kids, a chance to contribute to a free society, a chance to put down roots and help build the next great American century. I really believe that. That's what they're fighting for. And one more thing, by the way. I hear about, you know, about immigrants coming. Look, this is a self-selection process. It's one of the reasons made us a great country. It takes a whole hell of a lot of courage to be sitting at a wooden kitchen table somewhere, anywhere in the world, and say, you know what? I tell you what, kids, let's all pick up and go to America, where we don't speak the language, where they don't seem to want us, where it's going to be really, really rough to get there, but let's go. Won't that be fun?
What a
complete moron. Just doesn't get it.
He doesn't.
At all.
He's a retard, dude. And I don't care if I'm politically incorrect or not. Joe Biden is a retard. The man has absolutely no idea what life is all about.
He's been kicked in the head too many times by multiple mules.
Old mule head. I mean, he makes it sound like, fine, if we've got 11 million undocumented aliens who came over with their families and they're hardworking and they're doing things by the book, why didn't they fill out some paperwork to wait in line like anyone else?
And if they want to put down roots, could they just do it in their own country?
Yeah. Well, I think they do. They've put down roots. They've been here forever. 11 million, I'm betting it's closer to 20 million. And what happens if you just go ahead and say, all right, you're all here, you can stay?
Well, yeah, amnesty once again. And that
and wages drop like rocks for the rest of legal people, legal immigrants, and Americans who are here by birth.
And provides incentive for others to continue to do the same thing, and we never solve the problem. Yeah. But it's not a problem for Joe Biden. It's a great thing. These are all patriots willing to save America.
Yeah, they're patriots, all right. All right, till next week, go to thedailydrift.com and stay informed. Educate yourself for this election cycle. See you next week.
Take care.